everybody. My name is Nina Thomas, and I am going to be giving the message today, and I'm very honored to be up here. Our lead pastor, Joel Traynor, is not here with us. His wife just gave birth to a son, so it's very exciting. I know he's celebrating Father's Day at home, and it was only 4 days ago, so...
I'm your table man.
Okay, great, thanks. So today we're going to be, this is actually our last Sunday of a series that we've been in on the book of Psalms. And for the last 5 weeks, every Sunday, we've gone through one psalm and kind of discussed it a little bit more in detail. And so today, as Dwight read Psalm 103, that's the psalm that we're going to be doing today. And Psalm 103 is really, as you heard, a beautiful song of praise. And it's a song about remembering the many ways that God loves his people and the many great things that God does for his people. And I want to dedicate this message to anyone who might find themselves struggling to praise God or maybe not feeling it. I have been one of those people and probably still will be at times when, as James was up here talking about, you know, sometimes even if you've had a good week or a bad week, regardless of your week, maybe you come in and want to praise God and worship him, but, you know, it's just kind of like you don't feel it. I don't know a better way to say it, but sometimes you're not feeling it. You don't feel like praising God. And I believe the solution to that is found in this psalm. When we forget the many great things God does for us and when we forget his love for us, praising him is hard. We don't really want to say my sole devotion, my only focus is to worship you, right? If you forget who God is or you're not comprehending how great he is in the moment, you don't really want to say those things. And so I want to dedicate that to you because I believe that there's a cure in here. And so what we're going to do is we're not going to read through every verse of Psalm 103. We're going to focus on one thing, and that is not forgetting the things God does and not forgetting how much he loves us, because I think those are two very important things in praising and worshiping him. So if I could summarize this message in one sentence, it's that praising God is easy when we remember the great things he does. And it is easy when we remember how great his love is to us. Tyler taught a psalm last week, and he mentioned that a lot of the psalms, which are songs of praise to God, and some of them are just downright very honest, which I love. But one of the psalms, a lot of the psalms are written by a man named David. And this psalm is written by a man named David. And we don't know when he wrote it. We don't know if he wrote it in the beginning of his life or at the end of his life, but we know that it's true regardless of when he wrote it. But he did write it. And I read one commentator about this psalm, and I thought it was pretty cool. It said, "It is perhaps the most perfect song of pure praise to be found in the Bible. Through centuries, it has been sung by glad hearts, and today is as fresh and full of beauty as ever." So in Psalm 103, 1 through 7, I'm going to read that. If you have a Bible, feel free to read along. If you don't, we have some of these in the back. If you would like to take one on your way out, you are more than welcome to. They're there for you. So Psalm 103, verses 1 through 7. "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel." In verse 2, it says, "May I never forget the good things he does for us." And then it lists some incredible things God does. He forgives sin. He heals disease. He redeems from death. But isn't it possible for us to forget these things? It is very possible for us to forget, and we do forget. And we are really forgetful people, aren't we? I mean, I have on my Google Calendar, I put things in like remember to bring certain things to work, like turn off the crock pot. I mean, things that just anything and everything I put in my Google Calendar because I know I'm going to forget it. I remember sitting in a meeting. We planned this big work party, and we all were supposed to bring something, and it was this big thing. We had a meeting about it. The next day, I came in. I was like, oh, my God, I totally forgot and didn't bring anything I said I would. We're forgetful. We're very forgetful people. And even more remarkable, even when there's an amazing thing we've witnessed, we still can forget. And I love this verse that says, he revealed his character to Moses and to the deeds of the people of Israel. And I want to take some time just talking about the things that the people of Israel saw. Because these are the types of things that if you thought, just logically, if I saw that, I would never forget it, right? These are things that you would think you would never forget. So a little bit about the people of Israel. If you don't know, in the Old Testament, God called out a group of people. We call them the children of Israel, sometimes Israelites, sometimes Hebrews. They have a lot of names. For simplicity, I'll probably just refer to them as God's people. So God called these people out. He called them out to love him, to serve him. And in contrast, God would take care of these people. Long story very short, they became enslaved in a country called Egypt. And they became slaves there under a man named Pharaoh. And this is what it says in Exodus about this time. It says, so the Egyptians worked the people of Israel without mercy. They made their lives bitter, forcing them to mix mortar and make bricks and do all the works in the fields. They were ruthless in all their demands. So they were enslaved in Egypt. They were treated terribly. It was awful. And not only this, Pharaoh had sent out a decree that said all the firstborn of the Hebrews were to be killed. So they were treated very terribly. But God orchestrated a plan to save one man, and that one man's name was Moses. And if you want to hear about a miracle, just look up the story of Moses in Exodus. It's really amazing how he was born and brought in. But long story shorter, God raises up this man named Moses to rescue his people out of slavery in Egypt. So Moses' task was to lead them through. God tells Moses, I am the Lord, and I will free you from your oppression and will rescue you from your slavery in Egypt. I will redeem you with a powerful arm and great acts of judgment. I will claim you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who has freed you from your oppression in Egypt. You know, God didn't want his people to be treated like this. He was saying, I am going to free you. I'm going to bring you into freedom. I'm going to take care of you. And with a mighty arm, I'm going to do miracles before you. And you're going to know that I am your God. So Moses goes to Pharaoh and he tells him, let my people go. And Pharaoh is not really interested in letting his slaves go. So he says no. And he says no a lot, actually. But keep in mind, as I'm going through, I'm actually going to go through the plagues that God sent to Egypt. And yes, I'm going through all 10 of them. Because I think it's really amazing the stuff that they saw. So God decides, okay, if you're not going to let my people go, I'm going to send some stuff that's going to maybe change your mind. So the first thing he does is he makes all the water in the rivers blood. So that if people go out to get, you know, a pitcher of water, it's blood red. So Moses says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no. Then God sends frogs. He sends a plague of frogs. And the frogs were everywhere. They're in everybody's bedrooms. They're inside people's beds. Frogs everywhere. Like the frog, like hoppity hoppity, frogs everywhere. Sends that plague. Moses says, let my people go. Pharaoh says, no. So then comes the gnats. And it says that all the dust of the ground became gnats and filled everywhere. It covered every animal. It covered every person, filled with gnats. Moses says, let my people go. Pharaoh says, no. God sends, this time, flies. And this time, he sends flies everywhere. And all the Egyptians' homes were covered with flies, except for God's people, as a sign that these were my people, you need to let them go. So Moses says, let my people go. Pharaoh says, no. So then comes the killing of all the livestock. All the livestock dies, except for God's people. Their livestock was fine. Moses says, let my people go. Pharaoh says, no. Then come something very disgusting, the festering boils. So everybody and every animal is breaking out into festering boils. That sounds awful, and I would think I would give up right then, but of course, Moses says, my people go. Pharaoh says, no. Then comes the hail. Everything that's left outside a house or a pen would be killed. So Moses says, let my people go. Pharaoh says, no. Then come the locusts. God actually said, I will bring a swarm of locusts on this country. They will cover the land so that you will not be able to see the ground. They will devour what is left. Little is left of your crops. And they will overrun your palaces and homes. So God says, and Moses says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no. he's got a hard heart. He really is not giving up easy. So this one, I love this one. This comes the plague of darkness. And what's really interesting is the entire land goes dark, except for one small area, which, fun fact, the area was called Goshen. And that area was where God's people lived. And that area was lit. So that area had light, except for the rest of the country in that area. And so what a sign to Pharaoh, right? That, hey, these are my people. There's darkness everywhere, except, and God's people saw that. They got to see the entire area dark, except for their own little area, to know, like, we're God's people, right? And then comes another plague, the last one. It was the death of Egypt's firstborn. So everyone in Egypt, their firstborn, were to be killed. This is where the Passover is introduced. So God's people were to put blood on their doors, and their people would be safe. So all the firstborns of the Hebrews, of God's people, were fine, except for Egypt's. Well, that was the last straw. Finally, Pharaoh said, all right, I get it. your God, you can, you know, your people can go. He then changes his mind, of course, after he lets his people go. And God does another great miracle. As his people are leaving, they get up to the Pharaoh's armies are chasing them, and they get up to this big ocean. Moses lifts up his staff, and the sea parts. And these people, God's people, get to walk on dry land at the bottom of a sea. I mean, these are incredible miracles, right? I mean, whether you believe they happened or not, if they happened and you saw it, didn't that be something you would never forget? You'd be like, oh my God, there's something going on. A sea parting, you know, seeing everything dark except your house. I mean, that's an amazing miracle. But unfortunately, we're people, right? So we forget. And I think we have this psalm up, Psalm 106. Psalm 106, verses 21 and 22. It says, our ancestors, speaking of the children of Israel in Egypt, were not impressed by the Lord's miraculous deeds. They soon forgot his many acts of kindness to them. Instead, they rebelled against him. And, you know, it would be easy for me to say, wow, I can't believe they did that, if I didn't do it all the time. We forget a lot, right? God does these amazing miracles to these people, and it's something that you would think I would never forget. But the fact is that we do, and we have to be intentional about not forgetting. That's why I love in Psalm 103, it says, may I never forget the good things God does. It's an action. It's something required of me to say, I'm not going to forget these things. You know, I'm not going to allow myself to forget. And that's one of the beautiful things about the Psalms, is these people are singing praises of all the great things God's done. As a reminder to them, God did these things, right? God doesn't need to hear a song about all the things he does. I think he knows, right? That's for us. That's for us to be like, wow, I completely forgot that he parted the Red Sea, or I completely forgot he answered prayer. You know, as a personal example, I've been a Christian for many years, and I've seen some incredible answers to prayer. And I've been physically healed. I've had people lay their hands on me, and I've experienced total wholeness, unexplainable healing. I've seen unexplainable things happen when I've prayed and seen God answer. And yet I still doubt God. I still forget those moments. I don't always remember. And then I find myself struggling to praise him. Like, I can't think of anything to praise you for. Or, you know, I'm thankful, blah, 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 moving on. Let's get on with my day. Like, I still do that, right? So that's a problem with me. I got to remember. I need to not forget. And I love coming here and at church when we get to hear great stories of deliverance. Like, I think that's so important that we share those stories. A few weeks ago on Mother's Day, we got to hear a story about a couple in our church, Cody and Mindy McManaway, who couldn't conceive a child. And only by the grace of God and by his power were they able to conceive a child. And we have Nora here as a testimony to God's faithfulness and power. And I think those stories are amazing because it reminds you, hey, God is still working today. He's still powerful. He's still amazing. And then that makes you want to praise him, right? I mean, I don't think there was a dry eye in the room when we heard that story. We all were like, oh my God, God is great. You know, this is a miracle, right? So remembering the amazing things God does, it makes praising him just easy. The other thing that becomes helps us to praise him is not forgetting that God loves us. When we forget God loves us, it can be very detrimental to us. When we forget his love, that's when we start to question his character. When we start to ask things like, well, how can we let that happen? Or, you know, why did he do this? Or why won't he do this? When we forget that his nature and his character is love and is kindness and is compassion. And if we don't remember that, it's hard. And if you do a word cloud for this psalm, nerd alert, I totally did a word cloud for this psalm. I like word clouds. I don't recommend that as like a study tool for studying scripture, but as you look at it, it kind of tells you themes, words that come up often. In Psalm 103, praise comes up a lot. Big shocker. Lord comes up a lot, also big shocker. And then love is the one that consistently comes up. And whether this is your first time at church or you've been around or not, you've probably heard the phrase, God is love, right? That's something that's kind of like a catchphrase or something that we may have heard. People say God is love, but often we still don't really know what that means or really comprehend what his love truly is. And that can be very detrimental to us when we want to praise and worship him. And so I want to consider these verses in Psalm 103. And I think we have them, yeah. It says, the Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all of our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. And this is incredible. And when we think about God's love, I can't talk about God's love without talking about us. Because all throughout the scriptures, and let me tell you, this is not a popular thing that I'm going to say. I know it's not popular, but it's true. I didn't come up with it. People are pretty much the worst. And all through scripture, you're going to see that. People, we're sinners. We're called wicked. In Romans, we're actually called God's enemies. We are pretty awful. We're called unthankful, ungrateful. That's pretty much mankind. And if you don't believe me, I was out of the country last week, and I spent a lot of time at the airport. And as I was preparing for this message, I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, if let's say for a minute that I really thought people are generally pretty good. You know, like people are pretty, you know, they're pretty good. They're nice. Like people are like nice to their neighbors. I would never believe that if the only place I went was the airport. I saw someone, like an 80-year-old man, get shoved out of the way for someone to get their suitcase, like shoved out of the way. And that was like, and I'm sure that person wasn't a terrible person, right? It's just a normal, regular person. Just get out of the way. You're in my way. I saw someone, you know, those ropes at the airport where they're like the little clicky things. I don't know how to describe them, but they move them around. I saw someone just lift all of them up and cut everybody off in line. Just like, well, I want to be first. I saw two people, and this is just within an hour, right? I mean, this is not uncommon. We were outside, and there was these two people. This is what made me think, gosh, I'm going to share this on Sunday. These two people were screaming at each other in the parking lot, or like with a pickup line. They're like, get your car out of here. Someone's trying to pick me up. And the other person was like, no, I'm trying to pick someone up. You get out of here. I was like, wow. And that's what makes God's love so incredible, because he says that he loves people. Like these people, right? The people shoving an 80-year-old man out of the way to get their suitcase. God's like, I place my love on that person, you know? And if you think maybe like, I'm a pretty good person, or, you know, I wouldn't have done that. I just want to, let's think the last time that you were in traffic. The last time that you were driving a car, and there was about 25 cars in front of you, and you're all patiently waiting to get off. And then someone, I won't say their name because this is church, but someone decides to pull up and just cut off all 25 cars and just zoom up in front. Now, I know what you said to that person. You said, blessings, you know? May the Lord fill you with love. No, you said something else. Think about the last time that you were at home with someone you live with and they did something for the 15th time you've told them, please stop doing this. The 15th time. I know what you said. You said, I love you. I forgive you. It's no problem, right? No, I know what you said. It's the same thing I said, right? We're the worst. And that's the testimony of the scriptures. And I think that makes God's love that much more beautiful. If we think we're pretty good people, then we don't really, like, the fact that he doesn't get angry with us doesn't mean a whole lot. But if you actually think about yourself on your worst day and how awful you are, you're like, wow, he doesn't get angry with me quickly? Like I just did at the DMV when someone wouldn't hurry up, you know, and get out of my way. Anyways, I could go on for hours. It's just so common, right? But Jesus does this in Luke 6. It says, Luke 6, 35 and 36, it says, "But love your enemies and do good to them and lend to them, expecting nothing in return. Then your reward will be great and you will be the sons of the Most High. Listen to this, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." You know, God's the kind of God who loves people who expecting nothing in return. He doesn't expect you to ever pay him back. He just gives you his love. He is merciful to you when you don't deserve it. When we're ungrateful, it says he's kind to the ungrateful. I get so angry, you know, but God is kind. You know, he's kind to the person shoving someone out of the way. You know, he's kind to the person that I was at the farmer's market with that found out that the strawberries were limited. And so she was like, give me three of them so that no one behind me can get any. That happened to me yesterday, so I had to bring that up. Still bitter about it, obviously. Point, you know, case in point. You know, God loves people that don't love him back. He's kind to people that are ungrateful, and he's kind to the wicked. And that's what makes his mercy and his love just so incredible. You know, God loves us when it's not convenient, when it's hard, and when we're unbearably frustrating. And when we remember this about God, when we actually sit and think, like, even just thinking about your week, maybe think about how you behaved in any day of the week, you might be really amazed to consider that God loves you and that you don't deserve that, and yet he extends his hand to you, and he doesn't expect anything in return. That would make you want to praise him, I think. It makes me want to praise him when I remember that. When I think I'm doing pretty well and I'm not, you know, a pretty good person, I forget those things. But I don't know if I have. Have you ever experienced somebody really love, like, pouring out this type of compassion towards someone? Like, I know I just told about a lot of examples about people being the worst, but when someone loves with the kind of love and the mercy and compassion that God has, it is really remarkable. And I got to witness that. I thought of this example when I was studying or working through this psalm. My sister and I used to volunteer on Saturday nights down at homeless camps in Columbus. And before you say, wow, what a good person you are, I'll tell you that when I first started, I had zero compassion for homeless people. I was like, get a job. You know, like, you're in this position because of your own whatever. That's your problem. So I kind of had a hard heart about it. But when I went there and I witnessed some people who had been loving these homeless people for 20 years, just pouring out their life and seeing that just the compassion they had, it changed my life, because I just didn't realize, like, there was this woman who she was drunk and she'd been sleeping outside for a couple weeks. She'd been sleeping in a tent. She was very dirty, just a mess. And she came up to us, and there was a big group of us, and she was, you know, came up to get some food and was very devastated because she just found out that her brother had died. And so she was just upset and she was a mess. And so there's some of us there that are just kind of like, didn't know what to say, didn't know what to do. And this woman goes, "Oh, you know, you should probably, why don't you come to church tomorrow? I know the pastor would be really happy to take care of you." And I sat there and I thought, well, that's a good cop out, right? Like, why don't you come to church and they'll love you? Like, so I don't have to do anything. But there was another woman there, this woman who'd been doing it for 20 years, and she walks right up to her and she says, "No, we'll take care of you now. What do you need?" And she grabs this woman and she pets her matted hair and she prays for her and she loves her and she takes the gloves off of her hands and puts them on this woman and takes her scarf. And it was, by the way, this is February. It was freezing out. I cannot believe people sleep outside, but it was freezing out. And she puts her gloves on her hands and the other woman's like, "No, no." And she goes, "Don't worry about me. I'm fine. Like, what, you need this." And it was in that moment that I was like, wow, this is what God's compassion is like. Like, that woman, you know, I doubt she deserved that kind of love. I don't know what put her out. I'm sure that there's a lot of circumstances that put someone outside, that some of their own decisions, some of the decisions that or things that just happened to them. But regardless, it was just seeing that compassion and realizing, like, that's how God treats us, whether we deserve it or not. If we're, you know, broken, God loves us no matter what stage of life we're in. And that makes you want to praise him. That makes you want to rejoice that there is a God in heaven that sees you on your worst day. He saw me at the airport, right? He sees you at home, maybe sometimes the way you treat your family at times. I know I'm not the best either. And those worst days, God still loves us. It's so incredible. And I want to read Psalm 103, verses 14 through 18. It says, For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass, like wildflowers. We bloom and die. The wind blows and we are gone as though we had never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to his children's children, of those who are faithful to his covenant, of those who obey his commandments. This is incredible because if it was just 14 through 16, he remembers how weak we are. He remembers that we're dust. He remembers that we're, you know, there and gone. But the beauty of that is that God loves us. And so he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross for us. You don't need to be saved if you're fine, right? You need to be saved because you're the worst, right? We all are. We're all sinners. And God sent his son to die for us, to save us. And this love remains on us. It's incredible. He remembers that we're weak. He knows you're weak. He knows that we don't do the right things. And yet he loves us. He shows mercy. And then praising him is easy, right? We remember, wow, I do not deserve this kind of love. I do not deserve him to treat me with kindness when I was so ungrateful. And then when we remember, wow, he still answers prayer. He still does miracles. He's still incredible. Then we want to praise him. You know, if you were going to write out your own Psalm 103, do you have things maybe that you would write? If you don't, that's okay. But think about it. If you were going to sit down and write, praise the Lord for blank, what would you write? How has he shown his love to you? How has he shown his power? How has he answered your prayer? Those are the things that you never want to forget. And so I encourage you to remember those things, to say them out loud, to tell someone about it so that you don't forget. And we want to, you know, before we sing today, I'm going to pray, but before we do, I just want to, before we sing the last, you know, praise song, just try to think of one thing. You don't have to remember everything that's ever happened in your life, but just try to remember one thing maybe, you know, start there. Start to remember one thing that God's done to show you his love and his mercy, and then see if maybe you want to praise him. See if maybe praising him becomes easy for you. But I want to pray for us while the band comes up, and then we'll sing together. So God, I thank you for your unfailing love to us. I thank you for your compassion. I thank you that you know that we're weak, that you know that we can be ungrateful and unthankful and unkind, and yet you are kind to us. You give to us without expecting anything in return. You love us. You're amazing, and we're really not. And we're excited to praise you because you're great, because you do good things, because your love is great, and we thank you that you're always here for us. And I pray that you help us to not forget, that you call to remembrance, even right now, things that you've done for each person here, the love that you've shown, and above all, the love that you showed when you sent your son to die on a cross for us ungrateful, unthankful people, that you loved us enough to send your son. And I thank you for that, and I praise your name for all that you've done.